have, and hope that you find a home here and that you feel welcomed and encouraged to come back whenever you may be able. This time, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for these hymns and for the prayers and for our fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we're so privileged to be able to be in this assembly, and we just thank you that we have this privilege. And Father, we pray that as we assemble tonight, you will help remind us that this time is not only time to worship you, but also to prepare for our eternity. Father, help us to realize how precious life is and how wonderful eternal life is, and help us to prepare in such a way that we will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Father, we're mindful that there are many among us that are not feeling well. There are those who are physically sick as well as spiritually sick. And we pray that as your people, that we can be able to do something, to be able to help relieve the pain and suffering in some way. And Father, we also pray that your providential hand will be upon these people and be able to do something in their life that will bring them back to a proper relationship with you. And Father, we can help them get to heaven. Father, help us to open our minds as we open your word tonight. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. A while back, a funny video was floating around on the internet, and although it was in German, you could still understand what was going on by watching the video. And the video was a young woman. She asked her father how he likes his new iPad she gave him for his birthday. He says, "Good." But then she watches him. And as she's watching him in the kitchen, he has used the iPad for a cutting board. And he's preparing dinner by cutting on that iPad. It only proceeds to get worse when, after he is done chopping, he rinses it off at the sink and places it in the dishwasher. Of course, that might be funny as we think about it, but for that young lady who bought that iPad, that very expensive iPad, for her father, I'm sure that she would have definitely been alarmed. Well, in real life, it's no laughing matter when it comes to something that is so costly as our lives, when we're not fulfilling what God has designed for us to be as our purpose, as we talked about this morning. See, there's nothing worse than using something that it was not purpose to be or to be used for, such as an iPad for a cutting board. Same is true with a human life. God designed us for a certain way to live. God sent his son to die on the cross to redeem us by his blood for a certain purpose, a certain cause. And the saddest thing of all is when people who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ do not live out the purpose which they have been designed for. If you were here this morning, you recall that we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, and where we looked at that very question of what is our purpose. And Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 and 14 comes to the conclusion of what our purpose is. It states, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is a whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." See, all of us have a purpose as designed by God, to fear God and keep his commandments. Without this purpose, our lives become mindless and heartless and a drudgery. And so we must understand our purpose. But as we looked at this morning, it's not just about understanding our purpose. I want to continue that thought of how do we fulfill our purpose? How do we apply and live our lives in such a way that we are striving and being all that God intended us to be? See, sometimes we as Christians drift from our purpose. We see it in Scripture a number of times. One example is in the Old Testament, David. David is probably one of the great examples of how an individual who was right with God but drifted from that purpose. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, we see that he comes in contact with Bathsheba. He was supposed to be out fighting with the men in battle, and yet he stayed home for whatever reason. And we know the rest of the story. He sees Bathsheba. He retrieves Bathsheba. He sleeps with Bathsheba, and there is a child conceived. He conceives a plan to murder her husband, and thinking everything is all right, the prophet Nathan is sent by God and confronts David. And in all this, we see David eventually repents and comes back to faith. But all of this is began by David abandoning his purpose, abandoning what God had designed him to be, what intended it to be. And so many times we as Christians do similar things. Oh, it may not be the same kind of sins as David committed, but there are things that we can lose our focus, lose our purpose, and abandon what God designed us for. So how are we to fulfill our purpose? How are we to stay in fellowship with God? Well, if you have your Bibles, we can look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Notice what it says in regards to continuing in our Christian walk. It reads, "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Notice in this context, it reminds us that there is a continuation, a continuance to our fellowship with Christ. There is a persistence as we walk with one another. See, our purpose that Christ has given us is not just a one-time deal. It's not something I do once in my life and we mark it off our bucket list. The Christian life, fearing God and keeping his commandments, is something we do continually, abiding in Christ and continuing to walk with Christ all the days of our lives. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, we need to realize that our purpose that God has designed, fearing God and keeping his commandments, needs to become a part of our life. Our purpose needs to become part of our life. Again, looking at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Notice John tells us that we must walk in the light. This continuing in the light means continually, daily, maintaining that relationship we have with God. As we talked about this morning, it means that we continually fear God and keep his commandments. It's a daily endeavor, not just once a week or once a month or when I think about it. It's something that we are to do daily. Notice again, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. It reminds us that this keeping, fearing God and keeping his commandments is the whole duty of man. It's the whole. It's our responsibility. It's what we do every day. A good example of making one's purpose a daily part of our life is probably found or best illustrated in the IRS. Whether you like them or not, as we think about tax time, this time of year, in the 1976 IRS handbook, it states this about their purpose. During a state of national emergency resulting from enemy attack, the essential functions of the service will be as follows: assessing, collecting, and recording taxes. That is true. So while everyone else is panicking, as the world is falling apart, the IRS, you can count on them, are going to be there to take your taxes. Well, in a similar way, we need to be reminded and be aware and continually thinking about our purpose as Christians. That our purpose of fearing God and keeping his commandments doesn't stop when we face tragedy. It doesn't stop when we face discouragement. It doesn't stop when things in our world is turned upside down, when we face discouragement and hardship. No, we continue. We continue to have fellowship with Christ. We continue daily doing what we're supposed to be doing as children of God. That doesn't mean that it's going to get, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that there might be some challenging times to be able to fulfill that purpose, but as we think about our purpose, it reminds us that we continue to walk with God. See, when we stop walking with God, when we abandon him and we abandon our purposes, we stop being family. See, we can fall from grace. We can turn our back on God. We can abandon the very thing that God intended us to be. But the challenge of Scripture is to remind us to do this, to grow and to continue in the faith. Notice in Acts chapter 14, in verse 22. Notice what Paul did as these Christians were just starting out, they're infants in their faith. But in verse 22 of Acts 14, Paul said, went around strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging the continuing the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. He is not bashful. He is not trying to disguise the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is reminding us that we're going to face trials, but you maintain your purpose. You continue in the faith. You continue to do what God has called us to do. Colossians 1 and verse 23 states this: if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Here Paul is challenging and encouraging the Colossians: don't shift, don't vary, don't drift away, continue in the faith. See, without Christ's center purpose, we are lost. As we think about this very idea that as our purpose that gives us meaning, it gives us direction, gives us an aim and goal in life, if you take that away, we become mindless and disoriented, and we don't aren't in a situation where we please God. In Proverbs 19:21, it has this to say: many are the plans in the minds of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And so if that's being true, and it is true, then we need to align ourselves with the Lord and follow his purpose for our life. Our purpose must become a part of our life, our daily life, not something we do now and then, not something we do once a week or once a month or when we think about it, but it must be something a part of our everyday life to maintain, to grow in our faith. But number two, our purpose must be cultivated. And so as we think about this being a part of our everyday life, what does that look like? How does that take place as we cultivate this relationship, as we cultivate our purpose, as we strive to grow in faith? Well, there's a number of things that we can do to help us to fulfill our purpose, to cultivate it, and to grow. First of all, we need to sustain our purpose with prayer. As we read through the Bible, we see that prayer is a very vital aspect of our Christian life. See, prayer is not something we do in emergency only. It's something that we do and maintain throughout our Christian life. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it reminds us to pray continually. See, prayer is a thing we do. It's a discipline. It's how we talk to God. It's how we relate to God. It's how we share our concern, our praise, our every aspect of our life. And so if we are to continue to walk with God, continue to walk in the light, part of that is we need to communicate to him in prayer. And so prayer needs to be something that we do, not just a habit, but it is our response to our relationship with God. So we pray and we talk to God. But we also combine that prayer with Bible study. See, we need to grow in faith. Faith is meant to be a process that we grow. And in order to continue to know and fear God and keep his commandments, there is a continuing to learn and search the scriptures. Notice in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is there for our benefit. It is there for us to know. It is there for us to study. It is there because this is the will and mind of God being laid to you and I so that we can be able to be corrected, that we can be rebuked, that we can be encouraged, and we can do all good works unto him. We go on and see that in other scriptures, such as 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, as Peter concludes that book, he reminds us that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is this idea in Scripture that not only are we to be praying people, but we are to be people who study and hear and develop that faith in our life through spending time in God's Word. In Hebrews 6 and verse 1, it says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith towards God. The Hebrew Christians had a problem with not growing in the faith. In that chapter before, in chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews reminds and teaches us and shows us that the Hebrews were not, they needed the elementary things. They should have been teachers. And so he rebukes them. And in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, he challenged us to continue to mature And so in order to fulfill our purpose, we need to have a growing faith that comes from studying and meditating and dwelling in God's word combined with prayer. But then we also see that needs to be combined with fellowship. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 42, we see that the Christians, after they had been baptized and became Christians, we see that they continued in the fellowship with one another. You know, sometimes we overlook how important fellowship is. Sometimes we think we can be Lone Ranger Christians. In fact, in all my experience in life, I've never met a happy hermit. As much as sometimes people want to be by themselves, and there is certainly a time and place for that, the Christian needs fellowship. They need godly people to surround them and encourage them in their everyday life. I like the story, and maybe you've heard the story of the little girl who was so scared one night because it was storming out, and she called out for her father, and he said, "God is with you. It'll be all right." And she did this a couple more times and said, "Daddy, I'm really scared of the storm. Will you come up here and be with me?" And he said, "God is with you." And finally, after hearing this a couple times, the little girl responded to her father and said, "I know God is with me, but I need skin." You know, church, we need skin. We need one another. And God designed us to have those social interaction, that fellowship, and we need that fellowship with one another to stay strong. It is true that we see the enemies of the evil one as congregate together. We see that evil people collect together. Godly people need to come together, and we call that fellowship. We need one another to share in our spiritual blessings from Almighty God. And this helps us cultivate that purpose and remind us daily and regularly to fear God and keep his commandments. But next, we see there's something else vital. God didn't intend for us just to maintain our number. God wants us to reach out to the lost world. One of the last things that Jesus shared to his disciples, which is passed on to you and I, is the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Here we see Jesus is instructing us to go into all the world and make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and continue to teach them. God is not satisfied with just this number alone. Those who have been baptized into Christ, praise God. But God wants one more. He just wants one more. And when we are able to help one more become a Christian, he wants another. And see, he's given that goal, that responsibility, you and I. In Luke 19 and verse 10, we see that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Humans who have wandered into sin need to be taught. They need to be instructed. They need to be shown the way of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so it is our responsibility to seek those who are lost. As we read through the New Testament, we see that those early Christians did just that. You know, on the day of Pentecost, after those 3,000 were baptized, guess what they did? Not only did they fellowship, not only did they continue to worship on the first day of the week, but they continued to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ and tell about that plan of salvation. And so it is, if we want to be able to fulfill our purpose, we need to tell others about what God has done for us. We need to tell others about who God is and that he has a plan for our life. He has given us purpose and meaning. And I believe with all my heart, that's the type of world we live in. A world that is looking for meaning. A world that is looking for purpose. A world that is lost and looking for direction. And guess what, church? We have it. And we are God's ambassadors to this world to help them and be able to come to know Christ and their full purpose in this life. But not only are we to evangelize, we're to worship. As we think about how important it is to come on the first day of the week, as we see and mention this morning in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, which reminds us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, we need to be reminded that God desires worship. And as we see in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, God is spirit, and he is seeking those who worship him in spirit and truth. There is something about our relationship with God that makes us better when we put Him first. As we continued thinking about some of the things that was spoken this morning, we are reminded that when we seek first God, everything else will be added unto us. As we think about God being worshipped and put first, it helps us be reminded that He is our Creator. He is the one who sent His Son because He loved us. And so worship, in a lot of ways, is our response to what God has provided for us. We need to be like Jesus in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this world, but it was His custom to go to the synagogue. We need to make it our custom, our religious habit, our weekly duty to spend time worshiping the God who has given so much for us. Alas, ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, notice that the Apostle Paul writes this to the congregation at Ephesus. He gave some of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. God designed us to have a ministry, to be servants. And there is a lot said in Scripture, and time wouldn't allow us to look at all the things that could be said. But we are designed, we have a purpose, as we fear God and keep His commandments, to look out for one another. As we read through Scripture, sometimes that is taking care of the widows, as we see in James 1:27, taking care of orphans. We see Tabitha in the book of Acts, who when she died, people recognized her and honored her for the things that she made, the garments and clothing she made. Something as we might think as mundane as clothing can be a blessing. But the Bible goes on and talks about men and women have certain roles and certain responsibilities in the body of Christ. And every one of us has a function. And if I am to maintain my purpose, if I am to grow in that purpose, I need to be looking outside myself and trying to help others. That might be encouraging one another. It might be teaching someone. It might be giving of my means. And the list goes on and on. But in all of these, we are striving to fulfill our purpose as God designed. See, God expects us to serve members in the body of Christ, to help someone in need, to help those around us. Finally, as we conclude tonight, there once was a sanatorium run for rich women who had nothing much to do. They had been so idle in their life that their nerves got the best of them. Their finances were taken care of, their every needs and wants. But they found that if they just sat around, they would grumble and actually made up aches and pains. The husband and wife who ran the sanatorium were getting rich listening and babysitting these women. But then one day, one of the women made a few repairs on her old clothes, which she gave to the needy. Another woman took notice and did the same. And soon most were repairing old clothes and then delivering those clothes to places where the poor could take advantage of them. When all the women started repairing and delivering their clothing to the poor, the result? The women began to leave the sanatorium. The women had found purpose in life. They understood after a long process that the center, their life was not good for them. But they came to a point where they no longer needed to sit around and talk about their aches and their pains and what was wrong with them and their world. They understood that there were people that could benefit from their talents and their gifts. And so it is, when we think about our purpose, we need to realize God designed us with a purpose. To fear fear God and keep his commandments. And those commandments are there to help us each and every day to be able to be in fellowship with Christ, to be fellowship with one another. That when we lose our purpose, when we abandon what God designed us for, we're really no better than those women in that sanatorium. We began to look inward, we become miserable, we begin imagining things that aren't maybe there or emphasizing things that really aren't needed to be emphasized. And so the Bible reminds us over and over to have fellowship with Christ. We do that by walking with him daily, making it a part of our life, and then cultivating that through prayer, through evangelism, Bible study, increasing our faith and growing so that we could be one day have that heavenly home and be able to show that we have fulfilled our purpose in this life. Tonight, are you walking with the Savior? Are you living for him? If not, we want to invite you tonight to obey the gospel. Confess Jesus the Lord, repent of your sins, and put him on in baptism. It's when we do that, we begin to start a new life, a new direction, fulfilling what God has designed for our best life in this life. So tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do so as we stand, as we sing.